Zoom group, you get to see a PowerPoint, if I can get that worked out. That's why. Where did it go? It was right here. Oh, here. Went too far. We got it. My mouse is not cooperating. There we go. All right. This morning, there are a few announcements that I need to make that remind you to keep your links, whatever you are signed in on, because they will be good next week. And on Wednesday at 8 a.m., we have a men's breakfast via Zoom. So I'll try to get you an email to tell you where to click onto it. And at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, there's confirmation. And at 7 p.m., we have worship. And Thursday, the Bible study will be by Zoom, and hopefully we've got a few of the bugs worked out on that one. The daily devotions, if you would like to have them, you can request that your name be on the Constant Contact email list, and you'll get them every day, beginning in April. And if you want a printed copy, they'll be available inside the north entrance of the church. Pies for a church camp, they're not taking any new orders, but if you ordered one, you can pick them up on April 11th between 2 and 3. And somebody will actually bring them, if you park out in front, somebody will bring them to the church. And next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And I'm not sure if we're going to have palms or not, because the Posey Patch had a fire, and we're not sure if they got our order. Then another announcement that I need to make is that we have a locked mailbox now on the north and near the north entrance of the church. So if you want to drop your offering off, it will be safe there. So I think that's all the announcements I have. Anybody else? There are only four of us here. So we'll turn to the thanksgiving for baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And you're welcome to sing along.
Tongues to sing, my brave Redeemer's praise.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The Kyrie. Chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a promise that Israel, as a nation, though dead in exile, will live again in their land through God's life-giving Spirit. Three times Israel is assured that through this vision they will know that I am the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and cause your flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. That's the word of God, the word of life. Thanks be to God. Let's read responsively for those who can see it and those who might have it before them. Read the psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you there is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. The second reading is from the 8th chapter of Romans, where Paul writes, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. The Word of God, Word of life. Thanks be to God. The gospel according to, Thanks for your patience. There we go. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. But they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, they found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give him you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The pastor was visiting a family, and as he was having coffee with the mother, the kids came running in with this dead thing. And she asked, "What is that?" And the oldest one said, "It's a rat, Mom, but don't worry. We stomped on it and we bashed it until it was..." Well, at that moment, he saw that the pastor was there. And he changed his tune and he said, "Until God called it home." Well, I'm not sure about rats, but I do know that there are many articles written debating when death actually occurs for the sake of organ transplants. And I've also been in intensive care units and in emergency rooms where people wondered if the person they loved had died or would die. And they would ask questions like, can she live? One wise doctor replied, yes, she can live. The question is, does she have the will to live? Ezekiel had just about written the death certificate on old Israel. Israel was in exile, or much of Israel was in Babylon in exile, and had just about given up on life itself, giving up on the hope of ever returning. And that's when he has this vision. God shows him this valley of dry bones. Bones that had no life possibility in them, at least the way people looked at them. They were giving up. And God asks that question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, I don't know, but you do, Lord. And the Lord said, yes, these bones can live. But I think God was also asking that question, do they really have the will to live? As we look at our church today, as we look at Buffalo today, and through this pandemic, we have to ask that question. Do we want to trust God? Do we want to believe that God can make these bones live? Because sometimes we don't even know that we're dying. And that was the case with old Israel. If you had asked many of them, they would have said, we're not dead bones. We still have breath in us. And yet, it was not the breath of life that gives life. Isaac Asimov is a science fiction writer who also writes a few other things. And he tells a story about a church in which there was a hellfire and damnation preacher. You know, the kind who pound on the pulpit and really shake their fist at everybody. Well, this one was just like that. And in one particular sermon, he is pointing at the congregation and he says, you, this congregation, every member of this church will die. Now, there was one little man sitting in the front row, or near the front row, who had a great big smile on his face, just as happy as he could be. Well, the preacher thought that he hadn't heard, so he said it again, every member of this church will die. The man was still smiling. So the preacher got down out of the pulpit, went down and stood in front of him and said, why are you smiling? The man smiled at him and said, I'm not a member of this church. So, where are you in that? Are you a member of this church? Are you a member of Christ's church? That's the most important part. Are you alive, or are you among those dead bones? Paul told the early church in Rome to set their minds on Christ, because to set their minds on anything else was death. He says, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of Christ. Flesh and bones die. We know that. We've been to enough funerals to know that. The wages of sin is death. Those are the facts. But in the spirit of Christ is in us. There is new life despite that. One of the problems we have is sharing what we believe. Mahatma Gandhi spent quite a bit of time in England and had become friends with some Christians. When he got back to India, some of his other friends asked him why, if he was friends with Christians, why he didn't why he didn't just become a Christian. He said the problem was he knew too many Christians who didn't live as Christ would have them live. That's the indictment for all of us. Remember that we may be the only Bible some of these people out in the world ever read. Is our faith bound up and buried like dead bones in the eyes of the non-believers? Or are we alive in Christ? There wasn't any doubt that Lazarus was dead. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And he was smelling already. If you've ever been around dead meat, dead animals, anything like that, you know that stench that Mary and Martha experienced. It was not pleasant. And they knew he was dead. The question was, could he live? Martha and Mary were both really ticked off. And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Lord, if you had been here, he'd be alive now. What kind of a friend are you? It's about then that Jesus looks up at the crowd and sees all of these people who are weeping, and he weeps. Now, my belief is that he's weeping not because he's lost a friend, but because he's been to heaven himself. He knows the joy. He knows the peace. He knows the love of being in the presence of the Father. And now he has to call his friend, who is in that kind of peace, back into this world of pain and suffering, where there is little hope. But now he has to call him forth. And so he weeps. Orson Welles did a radio program, a dramatization of a Martian attack and an invasion by the Martians way back when. And people didn't hear the opening part that said that this was just a dramatization, and they took it seriously. So much so that some people even committed suicide because of it. Well, there was somewhat of a reenactment of that kind of activity in 1994 when CBS showed a program called Without Warning, in which an asteroid was going to hit the Earth and destroy the Earth. And it was obviously on television, it was a dramatization. And I saw that program, I believe, and I remember seeing those little captions they would put up every so often, warning people that this was just a dramatization, this was not real. And still, over 150 people called the station in panic, worried that the asteroid was going to hit their town. Well, Mary and Martha and all the others accepted the fact that Lazarus was dead. They didn't question the fact that he was dead. He was. But they didn't look at the possibility that what Jesus was ready to do was life. And so Jesus, even though they didn't get the idea, Jesus simply says, or calls out, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus came forth. Lent is a long journey. It's almost over. We have a couple of weeks to go yet. But it is a long journey. And sometimes it doesn't seem like we'll ever get to Easter. Because even now, we still have to go through the cross and the tomb to get to resurrection. Without the cross, there can be no resurrection. In our lives as humans, we are called upon to trust and believe that our faith is not bound up like dead bones thrown into a tomb, that we are alive in Christ. At the core, we are that valley of dry bones who wait to be raised to new life. Winston Churchill probably illustrated this best. He planned his own funeral. A very eloquent Anglican service was conducted with all of the liturgy you could hope for, and a fantastic sermon was preached. And at the end of the service, after the benediction, Winston Churchill's instruction was that the bugler was from one side of the church was to play taps. Taps, which meant the day is over. But immediately after, his instruction was a bugler on the other side of the church was to blow reveille. It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning. For Churchill, death wasn't the end. Death wasn't the last note where he goes to sleep and he never wakes up. The last note was, these bones shall rise again. That's true for us as well. Not only as individuals, but as a church. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing What Wondrous Love Is This, hymn number 666 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. And seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the Church, the world, and all who are in need. The response to "Hear us, O God," is "Your mercy is great." God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the Church with your Spirit, and bless the work of those who work for its renewal, like Hans Niels Hauge, whom we commemorate today. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of life, show redemption to all who watch and wait with eager expectation. Those longing for wars to cease, those waiting for immigration paperwork to finalize, those seeking election, and those in dire need of humanitarian relief. Come quickly with your hope. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of life, you weep for those who grieve. Unbind all who are held captive by anxiety, despair, or pain. Let healing rest mightily on those suffering from the coronavirus and all those we name in our hearts before you now. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle and keep us faithful in prayer. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of life, we give thanks for opportunities for this congregation to collaborate with our community in caring for the needs of our neighbors. Strengthen our ties with other local congregations, agencies, and services. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Gracious Lord, we ask that you give double measure of your Spirit to our joint call committee, Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silvenager. Bless also our church councils with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of life, you are our resurrection. We remember all those who have died and trust that in you they will live again. Breathe new life into our dry bones, that we too might live with you forever. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And again, just a reminder to send your offerings, either send them or drop them off in the locked mailbox here at the church. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then I put on the end, we will.